Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Today's Bible lesson is the Lord's Supper celebration, the deliverance of the Savior. The deliverance of the Savior. Well, today, just as we do on the second Sunday of every month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, a remembrance meal. We eat by breaking the bread. We drink by tasting the fruit of the vine. And we look back to the cross, a defining moment in divine history. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 10, the Apostle Paul speaks of the deliverance provided by our God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at the cross. And in so doing, Paul is providing us with a simple synthesis of what we believe as Christians. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Now I, Paul, make known to you, brethren, believers in Christ, the gospel message, which I preached to you, and which you also received, in which gospel you also stand. So he said it to them, they heard it, and they believed it. 1 Corinthians 15:2. By which gospel also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:4, and that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:5, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's the formal name for Simon Peter, the one who betrayed Jesus Christ, but Jesus made sure that he got to Peter immediately, because Peter was sitting in a corner beating himself up about what he had done. And so he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, the 12 being a term for the group that followed him, which was down to 11 at that time because Judas Iscariot had killed himself. 1 Corinthians 15:6. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain alive until now, but some have fallen asleep, the sleep of physical death. 1 Corinthians 15:7. Then he appeared to James, the Lord's half-brother, who became a believer in Christ after the resurrection from the dead. And then he appeared to all the apostles. 1 Corinthians 15:8. And last of all, as if appearing to one untimely born, the Greek idiom here is as if appearing to the runt of the litter, the smallest of the dogs of any litter, he appeared to me also. 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I, Paul, am the least of the apostles, and I am not fit to be called an apostle. Paul was not deserving, not worthy in his own eyes. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and what he was a minister to the Gentile. It was by God's grace and God's plan that he became a minister to the Gentiles. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored, even more than all the apostles. Yet not I doing the labor, but the grace of God with me doing the work. The crucified Christ became the resurrected Christ. And all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are taking advantage of the benefit that the Lord offered to all mankind at the cross. And that benefit, deliverance. Welcome to a place where you can learn about the deliverance of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we start with a song. Today's opening song is Forever by Carrie Joby.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. One final breath.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, we thank you for loving us. When we come into your presence in prayer, we come with an awareness of our human frailties, and yet we are completely overwhelmed by your unconditional love for us. You see the depths of our flaws and failures, and you love us the same. Thank you that there is no experience in this life that can separate us from your love. And when we scale the highest mountain of success in this life, you are there. And when we find ourselves in the darkest valleys of our lives, you are even more present, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Teach us today to love you in return by demonstrating obedience to you and your word. Help us to rest in your unconditional love that asks nothing more from us than a trusting heart, a heart of faith, the heart of a child. Guide us and help us to not overlook your intricate plan just because it is so simple. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's Supper celebration, the deliverance of the Savior. Let's take a moment now to give you a chance to make an offering. It's a chance for you to deliver the Word of God to those who are positive to it all throughout the world. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. It was about 2 weeks ago, one of my coworkers, he's going through leadership training in his school, and he said that they had a class on grit. And he asked me, what do I think grit is? And I said, you know, something stuck in your tooth. He said, no. I said, well, it's toughness. And he said, yeah, that's half of it. He said, but real grit is being able to stick to your guns and fight through all of life's problems and really being able to go through it and stick to it and not giving up. And I thought, oh, that's a pretty cool message, grit. You know, Christians need to have grit. And after the last couple lessons of us being knowing that as Christians we're going to be humiliated and we're going to be persecuted and we're going to come under fire from all points, whether it's family or friends or career. And it makes you think, you need to stick it out. You need to have grit. And I immediately thought of Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, grit. And perseverance brings about proven character. And proven character brings about hope. But now I see that verse a little differently now that I think about grit and perseverance, because a lot of people stop at the perseverance phase. They don't push through to get the proven character, and so they will never know hope. They'll never be able to completely depend on God because they can walk away. And I thought back to my own life. My mom always told me never to give up on stuff, but I remember quitting baseball in my senior year. And it was just, I don't even remember exactly why. I think I just wanted to have more fun. I was ready to go to college. I didn't want to have perseverance and go through the baseball season. And wouldn't you know, that year they went to state. And they needed a left-hand leadoff batter, and he wasn't there. He was in the stands. And I don't regret that to this day, but I truly missed out. It would have been a lot of fun to be there with the team. And I let a lot of guys down. And I didn't really like the coach that would have been my coach. So I kind of gave up on that. And it makes you think how in life we have grit for the things we really love, the pleasures in life. We'll stay at the beach all day long. We'll play video games all day long. We have grit to fight through that. But when it's something troublesome, like a marriage problem or a friend problem or financial problems or no job, it's really easy to step away. And it's a lot like there's an analogy of boiling water. When you put a potato in there, it softens the potato. But when you put an egg in there, the egg turns hard. So it's really not about the circumstance. It's about how you come out of the circumstance, how you learn from the circumstance. And I think, you know, we need to remember this verse, that we exult in our tribulations. And those tribulations bring about perseverance, which is grit. And if we don't stick it out, we'll never have that proven character, that depth of character that people need to know. And I think right now you're thinking, I want to reach into my wallet. But do you have the grit to follow through and actually pull some money out of the wallet? And I think we always do. A lot of us do. And I really thank you all for pushing through, and I thank Pastor for pushing through, because I know he's got a lot of tough things going, and it's hard to be at the point. And it really is. And I think we've all experienced being at the point, certain points in our life, where we're a manager or where we're at a leadership role. And it is tough. There's a lot of different responsibilities. It's not just leading with an axe and threatening. You have to reward people. And I think this ministry is a reward to a lot of people around the world. So I really thank you for your consistent giving. Thank you.
Welcome back. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's Supper celebration, the deliverance of the Savior. Well, thank you for your generosity. And Deacon Denny, I know that was a very serious message. And so I know that you didn't notice out of the corner of your eye that June was drooling and kind of wiping her mouth because, you know, grit certainly is that thing that we tie to perseverance. But to June, it's a breakfast cereal. Right? And she, you know, she's starting to have flashbacks of the time when she made grits with about that much lard sitting floating on the top of it and, you know, threw a little bacon in there. So she was just going crazy over here. So, June, I'm sorry that Deacon Denny was so serious in that message that he didn't notice how hungry you were. I got a half-eaten Egg McMuffin up here. You want or a donut? You want something to eat? Oh, well, no, this is the Lord's Supper. You can get a couple of Ritz crackers and some Kool-Aid. So, thank you. Thanks for the message. I think grit is something that is very important to develop inside of us all the time. It's certainly what this list of things that Romans 8:35 is talking about. Colin, do you even know what a grit is? Have you ever had grits? Okay, so talk to your dad about that. Have you ever had grits? So come on, tighten your boy up. All right, come on. It's kind of old school. It's got to. Yeah. It's a little better than oatmeal, though. It's hominy.
Oh, I don't know
what that is. Yeah, it's white corn, I think. Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just as bad as oatmeal, honestly. That was my breakfast every day of my life. When I got to be an adult, I vowed I would never eat it again. Every time you start a nutrition program, the first thing you say, oh, oatmeal for breakfast. Hell no. If it's dependent on that, I'm not going to make it, because I am not eating oatmeal and I am not eating grits ever again. So that's the truth. All right, today's Bible lesson, the Lord's Supper celebration, the deliverance of the Savior. When you look back to the cross, what do you see? I see a Savior who delivered us. The first book of the Bible is Genesis, and it means the origin, the beginning, or the way in. The way in to the plan of God for creatures was Genesis, in the beginning, a perfect creation by a perfect creator. God the Son snapped his finger, and the universe of the heavens and the earth were created in the twinkling of an eye. The Creator and his creatures, the angels, lived together in perfect harmony. The Genesis. Our Almighty God let all the angelic creatures in. And then something catastrophic happened. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God, the Son, Jehovah Elohim, the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate form, created the earth. And we know that that word created in Hebrew is bara, to make something from nothing. He spoke the heavens and the earth into existence. Genesis 1, 2. But the earth became formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Holy Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. What exactly happened? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 illuminates. This is the message we have heard from the Lord and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Yet darkness was over the surface of the deep. Something happened, something that was not of God. The earth became formless and void. The exodus. It was the departure from perfection. What is an exodus? It's a going out. It's a departure. It was the mass exodus of all angelic creatures turning their back on God. You can put that back up if you want to, Deacon Denny. You can just throw exodus up there. I'll slow down for you. You're still reflecting on that message you just gave, aren't you? Well, you know, I can give you another chance. You know, you can come up here. But the exodus is a going out. It's a departure. And it was a mass exodus of all angelic creatures, all of whom turned their back on God. All of whom turned their back on perfection. So how could we, as imperfection, ever expect anything less than that if a slave is not greater than his master? All angelic creatures turned their back on God. It was, and wow, it just hit me. You know, I was talking about Hitler convincing a whole country. How about Satan convincing all the angelic creatures to turn on God? Very similar. So it was no less for human creatures. We did the same thing. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. Unrighteousness was found in creatures. All creatures, angelic and human, would need a way out of the predicament of being fallen. And unfortunately for us, we would not be able to come up with the answers for ourselves that would bring us back into a relationship with God. Our good conduct, our being a basically good person, would not win the day with God. Yet this God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who knows everything, and the one who loves us deeply, figured out a way to bring us back into harmony. And what was the way back into harmony? Death. Death. To conquer death, you only have to die. Death would be the only way out of the predicament of fallen creatures. the Lord Jesus Christ decided to be the door into death. And the cross is the place where he accomplished his magic. And that is why we look back to the cross every month in admiration of what the Lord did there. And what he did there is he, through death, his and ours, provided us with deliverance. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "And the Lord Jesus Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to the sovereignty of sin and live to righteousness. For by the Lord's wounds you were healed." Jesus went to the cross to deliver his creatures. The shedding of his blood for all was a monumental moment in divine history. His death on the cross was a genesis of a deliverance that would give us an exodus, a way out of the sin problem. So let's take a moment to enjoy the elements, and then we'll learn a little more. So following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. We drink to remember his work, the voluntary sacrifice he made at the cross on our behalf as our substitute instead of us. And we're grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, "I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me.'" When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, "In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, 'This is a cup of a new testament forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration. And as often as you drink it, do it for the purpose of remembering me.'" As you enjoy the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. Now and always, let us keep on giving thanks that we are loved and accepted fully by God. And let's enjoy his love day by day, which is our Lord's Supper song.
See you.
Let's take a music break. This is called Skin Deep by Buddy Guy, and this goes out to John Miller up in Coeur d'Alene.
I've been around a while. I know wrong from right. Learned a long time ago, things ain't always black and white. Just like you can't judge a book by the cover, we all got to be careful how we treat one another. Skin deep, skin deep, underneath we all the same. We all the same. We all are the same. Man in Louisiana, he never called me by my name. He said, boy, do this, and boy, do that, but I never once complained. I knew he had a good heart, but he just didn't understand that I needed to be treated just like any other man. Skin deep, skin deep, underneath the same. Skin deep, skin deep, underneath we all the same. We all are the same. Set my child down when he was old enough to know. I said, out there in this big wide world, you're gonna meet all kind of folks. I said, son, it all come down to just one simple rule, that you treat everybody just the way you want them to treat you.
Thank you to John and Monica for coming down to visit. You know, there's some people that you just know in life have a philosophy that's consistent with that song. And John and Monica are two people that I know have that philosophy, that we're all the same. And it's great to have them as friends. Today's Bible lesson is the Lord's Supper celebration, the deliverance of the Savior. One of the things the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at the cross through his death is the deliverance of souls. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 say this: God the Father rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Deliverance. By means of the Lord Jesus Christ's death and our death with him at the cross, for we died too. We died to sin so that we might live to righteousness. We were snatched from Satan's grasp, and all of his rights to us were taken away. And we can relate to what the Lord did for the Exodus generation of Jewish believers who were in bondage for 400 years in a slave market called Egypt. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14 say this. Oh, I missed a verse, didn't I? I missed Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now here's what Exodus 14:13 says. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation," which means the deliverance of the Lord, "which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." The Jews were in bondage, and the Lord sent a messenger to set them free. And as believers in Christ, when we are in bondage within our self-created slave markets, we remember Paul's frustration in Romans chapter 7, verse 24. He said, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free? Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" In Psalm 143, verse 1, David cries out for deliverance. "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications, my fervent and immediate need prayers. Answer me in your faithfulness. Answer me in your righteousness." And of course, the Lord always comes through for his creatures. The Lord's death on the cross provided a deliverance that set up the possibility of resurrection, a way back into relationship, and a possibility for a whole new life, a life of deliverance. And as believers in Christ, we have been delivered. Revelation chapter 12, verse 20 says this: "Then I heard a voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation, the power, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, Satan, has been thrown down.'" What does that mean? He has been dethroned. He who accuses the brethren before our God day and night. Satan, the enemy of God, accuses us, but he has no case because the Lord snatched his case from him. The Lord tells the story of this deliverance. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5 say this: "Truly, truly, I say to you," this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking, "truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the pen of the sheep, he climbs up some other way. He is a thief and a robber." John 10:2. "But he who enters by the door," in other words, he who enters legitimately, "is a shepherd of the sheep." John 10:3. "To the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens the door, and his sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Every shepherd has a call that his sheep recognize, and when they hear that call, they come rallying behind the call. John 10:4. "And then when he puts forth all his own sheep, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." John 10:5. "A stranger they simply will not follow, but they will flee from a stranger because the sheep do not know the voice of strangers." This is an amazing thing to watch. If you ever get a chance to see this, you should see this, how these shepherds will walk into a pen of hundreds and hundreds of sheep and will make a call, and his 50 sheep will come following him. And other people will try to encourage the sheep to go away from him, and the sheep don't want anything to do with the other shepherds, the false shepherds. John chapter 10, verses 9 to 15. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. When the shepherd gets his sheep to their pen, he allows them to go in and out of the pen, and he is the door, the passageway, that lets them go in and out. John 10:10. The thief comes, that one who sneaks up the back. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy the sheep. But I came, I, the Lord Jesus Christ came, that they, believers in Christ, may have the resurrection life, the Zoe life, the eternal life, and have it abundantly. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's why we celebrate the cross, because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10:12. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. John 10:13. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. John 10:15. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Deliverance occurs because of the shepherd, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and his voice is the word of God. And through his death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, God brought us through death all the way out. As believers in Christ, we enjoy keeping one foot in the world. But the Lord had us share his death at the cross so we would be completely rid of the influence of Satan and the world and the flesh once and for all time. God wants all of us. He wants none of us to value anything in that system. And the Lord's Supper is a great time to remind ourselves of this reality. And so my question for you is, are you taking advantage of your deliverance? We dedicate the closing moments of this Lord's Supper celebration to anyone here who is without Christ, thus without eternal life, without a relationship with the Savior of the world. Matthew 22:42 invites you to ask yourself, what do you think about the Christ? Matthew 7:13-14, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door, and if anyone enters through me, maybe you will, maybe you won't, you have a choice, he will be saved, and then he will go in and out and find pasture. Luke 23:42-43, the repentant thief was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And we close the lesson today, the Lord's Supper celebration, with a love song. June Murphy singing, When I Say I Love You.
I am the Lord your God, and I love you so much that I lay down my life. My love, you will always be precious to me. I will never put you away or push you aside. There is nothing good or bad about you that would make a difference in what I have to say. My death has made a way for you to be perfect in my eyes. So no matter what, I'm gonna love you anyway. I'm not giving you hoops to jump through. When I say I love you, I'm not telling you when you blow it, we're through. When I say I love you, when I say I love you, I do. When I say I love you, I love you with love unconditional. It will last for an eternity. My love for you is not emotional. It's part of who I am, and it flows from my integrity. I can teach you to love unconditionally with the power of the Spirit working in you. So when you've been betrayed and even lied to, you can still love others as I do if you want to. When I say I love you, I do. When I say I love you, when I say I love you, I'm not giving you hoops to jump through. When I say I love you, I'm not telling you when you blow.
Love is patient and kind. You usually miss that by a beat. You were right on it today. You usually wait, beat love is patient, as opposed to hit it. That was good. That was good. That was good. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son to the cross to be the perfect and only satisfactory payment for our sins. Thank you for tearing down the barrier of the dividing wall between the Jew and the Gentile. Thank you for uniting us in union with Christ. Thanks for letting us be church age believers, a special group of believers to whom you could teach that you were willing to do much more after we fell than you ever were willing to do before we fell. And we just pray that you help us to be grateful in our hearts for all the things that you do for us and all the things that you give us. And we ask you to open the eyes of our heart that we can recognize all the things that you do. And we pray that you protect our steps as we go out into the world, Father, and that you keep us on the narrow way, completely dependent on you and your guiding, mentoring spirit. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening.